will come. So we were in the tradition. Everything was rightly done. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Purport. Every living being is anxious for full freedom, because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusioned by the external energy, everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up by laws of nature. A conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth, and what to speak of one planet to another. But a full-fledged free soul, like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Angelpunkt heißt es. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nittinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Evaṃ sambhasya Bhagavān Nārado Vāsavi Sutam āmantya vīnam ranayan yajo yadrichiko muni. Sūta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Śrīla Nārada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. This verse appears in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, where there is a conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. In fact, it is a meeting between the spiritual master and his disciple who was confused. Narada Muni was able to solve the confusion of his disciple, Vyasadeva, and then, after he had instructed him profusely, left Yadrichikaha, that means wherever he wanted. In the Bhagavatam, this Sanskrit word Yadrichika appears quite often. It means something like of his own accord, according to him, his will, and here, wherever willing. It's a word which signifies freedom, own decision, ownership of one's action or thought. It means freedom. Srila Prabhupada once described himself as a freedom lover. Do you also, are you also a freedom lover? Or do you prefer to be a slave? This is a rhetoric question. We don't even have to have a show of hands. It's so obvious. The living entity's nature is to be totally free, not bound by any material laws. It can move everywhere. It can do whatever it wants. This freedom is experienced in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entity leaves that association, it loses its freedom. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the sparks who dance freely within the fire, but as soon as they jump out of the fire, their freedom is lost. They are extinguished killed. In the same way, our spiritual freedom is lost at that moment when we lose connection to Krishna. Also in Krishna consciousness, or on the path of, let us say, on the path of Krishna consciousness, that moment a devotee loses his connection to Krishna, at that particular moment his slavery starts. He is overwhelmed by his mind and by sensual desires who drag him like highway robbers from the street of Krishna Parayana, means on the way to Krishna. Don't know if you have ever seen in your childhood there was this movie on slavery in Africa or some wild title. It was a free man was walking and then someone threw a lasso. It was a servant of the white man, some very bad person, and he dragged that family man from the road, put him in a box and sent him to America for $20 or something. There was a movie like this. So we are peacefully moving as on the road of Krishna Parayana, on the way to Krishna. But as soon as we lose the goal, that is to please Krishna with our activities, out of our mind, then the lasso comes and we are dragged by our mind, uncontrolled mind and senses away from the road which leads to Krishna. So freedom is experienced only in Krishna consciousness, because in Krishna consciousness, daivishesha gunamayi, the strong ropes of material existence, that strong lasso, is a cut. It is very difficult to overcome the binding forces of the material nature. It has us in its grip. But mam eva ye prapatyante mayam itam tarantite. He who surrenders unto me, Krishna, can easily cross beyond the material nature. It is easy, because Krishna says no to Maya. Leave this soul alone. This is what Krishna says. Krishna is so powerful, the whole world is afraid of Maya, but Maya is afraid of Krishna, just like darkness is afraid of light. Now, many devotees, after hearing this basic philosophical understanding of our movement, that as long as I'm engaged in Krishna's service, many devotees, and or as long as I'm on the road of Krishna Parayana, means on the way to Krishna, our movement is the Krishna Parayana movement. After hearing this, a grave doubt manifests in the mind. We have seen, the devotees say, that many walked upon this road, but many were dragged away and sold for $20 to Maya. How will I be able to traverse on this road back home, back to Godhead? Srila Prabhupada was often confronted with this. Devotees asked him, is it ever possible to become Krishna conscious in this life? They were doubting that this road would bring them to success in one lifetime. And Prabhupada's answer was sometimes even more confusing for devotees who did not take the trouble to, you know, take more interest in this question. Will I ever go back to Krishna? Prabhupada says, yes, you can go back to Krishna in 1 second. You can become Krishna conscious in 1 second, or not even after millions of lives. In 1 second, or not even after millions of lives. What a mysterious answer, some devotee thought. What do you think, Parashaya Prabhu? It's an interesting answer, isn't it? So, let us today talk about what a devotee needs in order to go back to Krishna and become Krishna conscious. What is required so that we can go this road, the long winding road, or the short road, back to Krishna? Do you think this is an interesting subject matter which has to do with you, or is it just something abstract where we can sleep and wait for the prasadam? What is your opinion? Is it a good discussion? I feel encouraged. First of all, we need your full attention, because it will be a philosophical point, and then it will become also philosophical, but easier. Our GBC devotees in Mayapur have this year discussed a question which was raging like burning fire in the intellectual brains of our movement. C.C. Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. The question is about the origin of the jiva, or how it has become known, the jiva issue. It became a highly political, we are not totally unpolitical. It became highly controversial, that was the word, issue, because devotees had different strong opinions about this. So there is a very interesting lecture where Srila Prabhupada discusses this in a very interesting way, and this gives clue to his answer. You can become Krishna conscious in 1 second, or not even after millions of years. Srila Prabhupada there says that the living entity is always eternally the part of Krishna. He is therefore always connected with Krishna. The example he gives, but he goes, into a hallucinatory world. He falls into Maya. Prabhupada gives the example of a person who goes to bed and then enters into a dream world where he becomes an adventurer in dreamland utopia. I had a personal experience of this. I was just so tired, and finally at 12 o'clock in the night we could, no one was before the door any longer, and we could rest, and we had a dream of being in an unknown place on a preaching tour with 30,000 people in the audience, and we were dancing on the stage, and the people were jumping high, intoxicated by the sweet juice of the holy name, and it was so enjoyable to be there and preach and explain to them about freedom and spiritual freedom and Krishna consciousness, etc. And then we woke up in the cold Bavarian atmosphere, in the reality of the cold shower and so on. So now the dreamer was always lying in his sleeping bag, but he entered a different reality where he was dressed in stage costume, dancing with thousands of people. So these are two realities. The dreamer feels in the dream for what he experiences. Very keenly he feels the pleasures of the people, dancing with the people, and the frustration when the program is over, and so on. He feels such things. But there is another existence of his where his body lies and recovers from the strain of the day. In the same way, we are now in a different reality, the material world, but we are also with Krishna. We are asleep with Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example of the cowherd boys who were put into the cave put under the spell of Lord Brahma. They were lying there in the cave. They were in Goloka Vrindavan. After they woke up, they were again with Krishna. So in the same way, when the conditioned soul, the Jivatma, when it wakes up from the dream, at that time it will see I'm with Krishna. Now, sometimes, let us go back to the dream reality. Sometimes, a dream becomes so painful. You know, heads are rolling and women are crying and guns are shooting. And then, you wake up from the dream and you think, everything is all right. I'm in my bed. In the same way, sometimes the misery of material existence just becomes so strong that person cries out, enough! And surrenders unto Krishna. Then the dream breaks. In the same way, a devotee, he has to cry out, enough of this maya, and surrender to Krishna. It's called Sharanagati. And in this way, the dream of material existence will break, and he will be in 1 second with Krishna. He will be in 1 second Krishna conscious. Or if the devotee never shouts enough, he says, come Maya, come Maya, come Maya. He will not be with Krishna after millions of years even. Remember, the process of devotional service is free. It's your free decision to surrender. That decision we have left. This is the only decision which the conditioned soul has left when it enters into the material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to teach us the process of Sharanagati, the process of taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. There are examples in our Shastra, for instance in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of devotees who became Krishna conscious in 1 second. It's very interesting to note, it's Maharaj Katvanga. Katvanga Maharaj, after fighting on behalf of the demigods against the demons, requested a benefit from them, and he wanted to know how long he was to live. And they told him, only a short moment, only 1 minute. So he went back, and he practiced Krishna, he absorbed his mind in devotional service to Krishna. Sina Singha Deva Ki Jai. And it's very interesting how, from this vantage point of devotional service, he saw the material world. It is described in the Bhagavatam that he saw it like a Gandharva Pura. A Gandharva Pura, you may not be familiar with, it's a Luftschloss. Luftschloss means a castle in the air. Something which is illusory, which is only there in some other reality. In the same way, so this is how he saw the material world. He was not interested to enjoy the Luftschloss any longer, the castle in the air. He had no illusory concept like this, because he was a surrendered soul to Krishna. In the same way, a devotee must view this world in a little negative way. He must have a vision of restraint, a vision of reality. He must know, this world is not for me. This is very important. But more than this, a devotee has to develop attraction to the lotus feet of Krishna. just to understand that the material world is illusory is not important. Is not enough. It's very important. It is not enough. You will only be able to really surrender to Krishna if you go by the path of attraction. And I really want to talk at the final portion of my lecture about the second point of how to develop attraction to Krishna. I would like to request, like I often do, my audience to tell what are their ways to develop attraction to Krishna. How do you do it? How will this grow? First of all, are you agreeable with me that to practice Krishna consciousness you have to be attracted? You can't do it out of fear because the world is illusory. You have to have some attraction to something in devotional service, something in Krishna consciousness. How does this attraction come about? It's called ruchi in Sanskrit. I'm serving those who have the taste, and then I also get the taste. Also when it's hard, the service? Yeah. So here's another answer. I fix myself on devotional service, on my particular devotional service, and I ask, yeah, but what is when it's getting hard and ice cold rain of frustration and what is the opposite to success? Failure comes. And the answer is, well, I go through this and this is enjoyment, to just fight it through. Really? Then I get taste. Maybe is the answer. By chanting the holy name, I get taste. Always? I have to endeavor. Then only it works. Okay. We need real answers, by the way. This is a very serious question. We will die without taste. So we can't just give any answer. It must be an answer which in our lives works. We can't just say formulas. Your answer is a good answer if you do this. If you chant Hare Krishna to get taste, then it's a correct answer. Otherwise, in other words, we want real answers today. Maheshwara agrees with Ishwari. We get the taste from a person who has it. Through deity worship. How does it work? And how? You worship and somehow the taste comes. Dobro? Yeah? I know that it works with Daya Sindhu, I'm just asking. I'm sorry, Parashreya, Nikat, then. Parashriya Prabhu heard from Sri Vishnupad that even if we chant, and at the moment of our chanting, the taste is not so much there. Later the taste will come in an improved Bhagavatam reading. In other words, we will, after trying to chant hard, we will read the Bhagavatam and get a taste out of it, or even after taking prasad, we will get more taste out of it. And he says it seems to work. Yes, because you like it. Yeah. It's a very interesting answer. Yes. Taste giving, yeah. Yes. So, in general, dancing with in the kirtan, chanting, and associating with devotees gives taste. But you can also do any kind of service, understanding that you're doing it for the pleasure of the spiritual master and Krishna. And with this long-term vision, you can also get inspiration from any type of service, like cleaning the floor and even the private places, yes, and so on, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the, how is it? Not, I'm sorry. There. You know what I wanted to say. Good. If you can give Krishna to others, you get the taste. Yes, I always get a taste when I meditate how I can please other devotees and also the people and serve them. Yeah, Maria Teresa. Yeah, I'm trying to become humble and pray for that I become humble before I chant and do service. Book done. By seeing how the Lord is arranging one's life, one can surrender more and more. Ja? Nico, wir haben dich ja total vergessen. Ja. I speak with devotees to get advices from them how to deal with problems, and also I remember that problems go away by the influence of time. Kalosmi, Krishna at the time fact. After some extra tapasya, taste comes. Good. I think we could spend the whole morning in this discussion, but we want to come to an end of our lecture. To get spiritual taste, according to our Bhagavad philosophy, comes Shushu Shro Shradadhanasya. I will quote a little Sanskrit for you. Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. O twice born sages. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity, that is taste, ruchi, for hearing the messages of Vasudev. So, this is the process, and many of you said it. In fact, all of you were connected with this answer, in your answer. Let us find out how we can serve those great devotees. Let us especially fix on the service of our spiritual master. Yasya deva para bhaktir tata deva yata guru. That all the understanding And this is, we speak here of vijnana, the realized understanding of the Vedic scripture, comes if you have faith in the spiritual master and in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not long ago, our well-known philosopher, Ravindra Swarup, was in a conference, in an academic conference, and he heard how they all speculated about the Vedic scriptures. And in the end, he got tired. He just got up on the podium and said, "I don't understand you people," said to the professors. "In the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, it is stated, you can understand the Vedas only if you surrender to a guru and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you are not doing it. You just speculate and speculate. Why don't you follow the process which is given in the Vedas in order to understand the Vedas?" I also do this sometimes. Say it, listen, this is such a good point. Huh? If you, let us say, you want to go to Navayana Nishinga Kshetra, and you come from Serbsky, or from Polsky, or from Rutsky, or, you know, and you really have no idea where this place is. You phone, and you get directions. What is the best way to get the visa and to get over the borders and, you know, where's the best, isn't it? And then you do it. So in the same way, if we want spiritual strength, if we want inspiration, if we want taste to go on the Krishna Parayana, we need to surrender to the spiritual master. This is where we can get bala. Bala means spiritual strength, which we will require to walk on that Krishna Parayana. That's where you get it from. It's not, you can not get it from some chemical process, you know, and then separate it like cheese from the milk, you know, and then have and then sell it on the market. No, spiritual strength, inspiration, taste, you will get from your spiritual master by engaging with full faith in his mission. Now, you will leave like Narada Muni, who leaves. Will you leave in full freedom, or will you leave in full slavery? Will you lead a life of yadrichaya, of full freedom, or will you live a life which is not like this? It's up to you. We can do this if we surrender to the mission of our spiritual master and engage in his service. At that moment, the highway robbers who sell us for $20, they will run away, and we will be free to prosecute this wonderful chance of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Please excuse me if I was preaching a little strongly, but I thought at the end of a festival we are now leaving the holy dham. The sun is shining our way to wherever we go. Let the sun be the Krishna sun. Let us take the inspiration from this festival into our daily lives of determined devotional service under the instruction and guidance of our spiritual master. Then Vasudeva Kataruchi, we will get the taste which will empower us to go with full attraction on the wonderful path of Krishna consciousness. Do you have any questions regarding these points?
Yes.
man doesn't get through. Ja, ja, man kommt nicht durch. Ja, stimmt, ich auch. Ja, ja. So ist das. Ja. Ja. Yes. Well, if you could control your mind, let us just analyze Gadara's question. His question is, sometimes I know theoretically that the activity I'm doing, like preaching, singing, you know, is an activity which is full of spiritual taste, medyutam, but, sorry, but I just seem to be under a thick covering, like on the festival even. I was covered until the moment of the Abhishek, isn't it? Not totally covered, I hope, but a little covered. So what is it that all of a sudden lets taste appear? Now, one answer to this is, let me get into psychology a little bit. It won't be Freudian, don't be afraid. Srila Prabhupada once gave a very interesting example of taste, how it is in the mind. He spoke of in Calcutta, there was a man, a hotel owner, who cut the head of a chicken, and there was his son there who watched the whole thing. The chicken ran in circles before it finally died. So the hotel owner was laughing and enjoyed the thing, and the son was horrified. Now it was the same thing, the same experience, but due to a different mindset, there was different types of tastes. You know, someone liked it very much, and the other not. In the same way, so taste is dependent on the mindset. The hotel owner must have been a cruel demon, and the son was a normal human being, I would say. So taste really is a question of mindset. You can see in the festivals, you can see some devotees, you know, so austerity, and others are just almost jumping through the ceiling from all that ecstasy. In some, there is a black mind. We don't get enough prasadam, you know. Fasting. Oh, I'm so hungry. When is it getting? And the other thing, they sing at it. Please cleanse my heart. They sing at it. Remove all the anattas. They sing at it. Isn't it? It's the same thing, the same festival, but due to different mindsets, it's a different, it's actually a different experience of the same festival. Therefore, Krishna in the Gita says, the mind is our greatest friend when it is controlled. Medyutam, but the mind is our worstest enemy when it is not controlled. I think I will give this Vaidiki answer and leave it with this. Now, how to control the umski, the mind? This is the question. In Sanskrit you say om, and in Yugoslavian language you say um. It's a different interpretation. Om is transcendental, and Om is mentally, is mental. So the umski, the mind, is how has to be has to be controlled. And there are many ways to do it. The easiest way, when you have no taste, is to get out of the pattern where the mind is working in. See, the mind, let us talk about, when is the food coming? Oh, rainy days. And so when it is in this pattern, chant it with full strength, cry it. It's a scandal that the mind is there on the Shinga Chaturasi and dragging you away from the nectar. How can you tolerate it? How can you tolerate it? He just comes. You come to the festival. You paid 80 marks. And you have no money at all. It's a mysterium how it is possible that you could pay it. And then a mind comes and just drags you into nobody's land. You spend money. I mean, I'm speaking on a very pragmatic level. How can you tolerate it? You should be highly disturbed with the mind. Why should the mind always make you highly disturbed? You should make the mind disturbed. You rascal, I'm not going to tolerate this. Out! When one becomes sufficiently determined to say no to the agent of Maya, that's the mind, then it will go. How to deal with the mind? Prabhupada said, just ignore it. Oh ja, wenn das so einfach wäre. Du hast gut reden. Hast du eine Ahnung? Let's at least try. Okay. But yes. The immaterial life, you can't really influence your mind so easily. You can't tell the mind, just have taste now in this and this and this. But if you develop a different angle, it's sometimes for a short time possible. That's why people run to the psychologist. He gives them a different, why don't you see it like this, he says. That's really all he does. And it works for a short time, but they can't remain on this platform, and then they have to go again to the and pay money again. Or it will manifest somewhere else. But in spiritual life, also our guru tells us, or Krishna tells us, why don't you see it like this? This material nature is my energy. See it like this. And he gives us help. I'm the taste and water. He gives us a way how to spiritualize our material conditioned vision. This is what Shastra says, does. Looking through the eyes of Shastra, that's what we want to attain in our intellectual life. And it's possible with the support of spiritual processes, like the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which purifies the mind, which takes the dirty conditions out of the mind. One day, we will all experience a wonder. Envy will walk out of our heart. And then we will be very glad. It will smell a little when he walks. He will be a dark shadow and then disappear. That's our Rohini Sutta Prabhu was preaching yesterday morning to us. I think you have been profoundly touched by his lecture. So, you are correct. In material life, you can't just change your set of mind. But with the help of spiritual processes which purify the mind, it is possible. I, for instance, in material life was totally against authority. I mean, totally against. You can't imagine what authority did to me. I just needed to hear some authoritative statement and I left the place. I was paranoid with authority. And that came also in my relationship to my spiritual master. It was an obstacle in the beginning, because the spiritual master is an authority. Now, I hope it has changed profoundly. Mindsets can change with spiritual processes. Also, you are a scientist by nature, used to the logical way of looking at things, but now you are Gadadhadas, jumping and stumbling and falling in, in ecstasy. It has changed. Totally illogical, your behavior. Some of your professors might even chastise you. What has become out of the good physics students? Set of minds have changed. Anyone else? Yes, I'm not very sure if I can. Let me repeat your question and you see if I understood it correctly. Yes. Ah, cha cha cha. I know. Yes. Is the taste which we have when success is there, is that a spiritual taste or a material taste? Yeah, when we are not successful, we have no taste. Well, you should make an test in your life, an experiment. Next time you will be successful, it will come in something, it always comes, then, and you will be happy. Just ask yourself the question, am I pride or not? If you are not proud, but you don't have, this is your own experiment. We will not participate in the results. It's your result also. You just check, am I proud of being the doer? And if this is the case, it will be a little materially tinged, your taste. But if you practice the humility process, then even if there is no success, you will have a taste. I personally go out on book distribution for this experience. On book distribution, I'm always solidly defeated. I'm so defeated, you can't imagine. Book distribution, no one takes a book from me. I can't understand why. And, you know, it's a very humiliating experience. But I am so happy after the day, you know. I'm not at all frustrated. I'm just, yes, thank you, Krishna, for showing me my place as your very humble and dependent servitor. I distribute the books and I almost laugh, you know, because they don't take, I have to, because I say, yes, I'm not so qualified, I know. Anyways, I try. Personally, I have the greatest respect of our book distributors because they can do it. It's a hard process of surrender. I just got a letter from a devotee who went the first time out, a nice devotee, didn't distribute any book. And the devotee was asking, why did I have so much taste? I can't understand. I'm still thinking of the answer, but it will be something like, we can make a club, you know. and it's because you are humble, therefore you are forced to be humble, therefore the spiritual taste is there. Anyways, distribute much books. We need many books, but let us make this test of seeing if we are pride or not pride. Just by making the test, you get humble. Maybe you should write it down somewhere. You know, when you're successful, there was something I wanted to read, you know, because usually when you are successful, you don't think of the question of pride and so on. So you just have it on a piece of paper. Yes, there was something, because you're totally, you might have forgotten that experiment when you are successful. So it was in the B bag, or let me see what was about. Am I pride of thinking I'm the doer? This is the question. Let's see. Hare Krishna. It may be a little unusual to make such experiments. I do it all the time. Maybe it helps. Parashriya. Erzwingen, ja. Then the taste must come. Lord Chaitanya did not approve of this process, which you are telling. There was this brahmachari who only drank one time a day a glass of milk. And he thought, by this tapasya, I'm qualified to be in Srivasangan, the place where the Lord danced with his devotees. But Lord Chaitanya did not approve this, because it shows that there's still the mentality, I'm the doer. It has nothing to do with, it is opposite to bhakti, where you think Krishna's mercy is all. But at the same time, we should perform austerities which help the process of devotional service. For instance, sometimes we experience that we are falling into the sleepy period. We are just more tired. It can have a physical reason, that it's just changing of hormones or climates or whatever. But it can, most of the time the reason is that one eats too much. Just very simple reason. And one has to spend all this energy on digestion. Then eat less. Perform this tapasya. Or one comes to a life where one feels, oh, my taste is going. And then all of a sudden one notices, oh, I'm sleeping too much. I should better get up in the morning to attend the full morning program, or if you're on Sankirtan, to do other programs. you know, our reading and chanting. So tapasya, which increases our ability to perform devotional service, that is very much wanted. That's very necessary. That is as necessary as cleansing the body, because that helps us, you know, to you know, it's necessary to come into the temple room and so on. It's called guna vritti. It's something indirect. Tapasya is not the main thing for advancing in Krishna consciousness. But it helps us to make the process of advancement. Therefore, it's very, 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 very important. In connection with Krishna, tapasya becomes important. Otherwise not. It's so important that the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is based on tapasya. This is said. The devotees have to perform sense and mind control. Only then it will be possible for them to really execute the process of devotional service. Otherwise, it will not be possible. Priya Bhanu distributes so many books, and I'm in every Mangal Arati, and don't distribute so many. Yeah. Krishna consciousness is ultimately dependent on mercy. And on the attitude of the heart, it's very difficult to know who is a devotee. Therefore, we should never criticize devotees. It's very important. You cannot say. Devotee is he who is attracted to Krishna. That's what it is. That's a primary symptom of the sadhu, his attraction to Krishna. Thank you very much. I feel... today is the day where we leave to our different services, so let us end here. See you all, hopefully, back for the next festival, which will be Jamashtami and Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada. Please come and bring many more devotees with you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaunitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Sisi Pralad Nishingadev ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.